sorrow and your sad.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We'd like to welcome those of you who might be watching on Facebook this morning. Welcome to the morning service of the Lexington Christian Church.
Amen.
We hope you get a blessing out of what we're doing this morning. We certainly are. Love to get together and worship the Lord.
Amen.
As far as announcements go this week, not a whole lot. Don't forget... We are taking part in the Worldwide Day of Prayer Saturday, starting at midnight Friday night and continuing until midnight Saturday night. If you haven't picked an hour to spend in prayer, well, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Doesn't mean that you have to be there.
Nope.
We're not taking names. No salesman will call. Mitch.
In addition to that, New Bethel Church, they're going to come here to pray also.
Okay.
So the building will be open. If you choose to come, there will be people in and out. So
okay.
New Bethel folks are coming here to pray too.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always good when we can get together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what name is over the door.
Amen.
It doesn't matter.
Amen. Same Lord.
Do we have any birthdays this week? One in the back. Lynn, anybody else? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. A pair in the back, Fred and Mary. Anybody else? Rocky? What'd you do with him? You didn't let him come this morning?
It's a long story.
It's all right. Got what?
Doris.
Where is she? Oh, there she is. You're hiding, okay. Did I see a hand up there, Squirrel?
I was pointing.
Oh, okay. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let's turn to number 10. Lift our voices in song to the Lord. Stand, please. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is my health and salvation. All you who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings that so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriend thee, praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for a we adore Him. Amen. And number 36, we have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, magnify His name, and worship Him. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, truly, we do want to praise You, Lord, because You are worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor, because You are God Almighty, the creator of all that exists and the sustainer of the same. Lord God, Your word's clear that without You we are nothing. But we're grateful that it also says that with you all things are possible. So Lord, we ask you to touch every heart, every mind, every body here this morning. Everyone who's listening, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work through all of everyone who is able to hear your word today anywhere in any church, that your Holy Spirit will draw us closer to you as a church, as a people, as a nation.
Yes.
Lord, we need you. During this time, there is so much disunity. There is so much evil that is happening in our midst in this nation, but not just in this nation, it's worldwide. And so, Lord God, we call upon you because you are the only one that's able to help us to get back on the track. Help us to return back to you and to reset things back to the beginning of the founding of this nation in God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob. Lord, we need you. So we ask you, come. Lord Jesus, come. Have your way in our hearts and our minds. Instruct us and we will obey. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare for our communion service this morning, let's turn to number 248, Blessed Redeemer. Amen. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Meanwhile, his life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, what hand unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Brother Jim Rominger will bring our communion meditation and prayer.
The meditation I chose this morning was from the Christian Articles Archive. It was by Dr. Ralph F. Wilson. And it was entitled, A Tiny Portion from the Feast. And he says, I enjoy eating too much, I guess. I don't know of anybody in here that enjoys that, do you? Oh, I guess most of us do. I enjoy stopping by the supermarket on a Saturday afternoon, just in time for samples in white pleated cups or on a tray bristled with colored toothpicks displayed in all their finery by an aproned hostess at the end of the grocery aisle. They're on sale today. Wouldn't they taste good for dinner? She suggests, hoping I'll put some in my cart. Yes, the tasty sample does make me hungry for a feast tonight. Sometimes, though, I get samples from a feast that's already over. My wife comes home with leftovers from a women's club potluck lunch. It was really good, she says. I thought you'd like some. I do. And for a moment, as a snack, I can almost imagine the full meal as it must have been, dish after dish, spread out buffet style. Sunday morning during the Lord's Supper, as I partake of the bread and drink from the cup, I think about this as a small portion from the feast. I savor the aftertaste of the bread on my tongue and the sweetness of the grapes on my lips, and I imagine partaking of the Passover feast, the Last Supper, along with the disciples. While I wasn't there to be served personally, it's like they saved some for me so I could have a taste and feel a part of the great fellowship of Jesus' table that now circles the world. Or are the bread and cup a foretaste of a feast to come? Our fellowship at Christ's table in heaven. The Bible speaks of drinking the cup with Jesus in the kingdom of God. It's of sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of participating in the marriage supper of the Lamb. The tiny portion I taste on Sunday morning whets my appetite and reminds me of my personal invitation to this feast. It's not much to eat, I suppose, a wafer, a fragment of bread, and a sip, just a sip. But it's enough to recall who I am.
Amen.
To realize how privileged I am to belong to the band of Jesus' followers who are asked to eat of his body, drink of his blood. How privileged I am to know that my name appears on the guest list for the great feast to come.
Amen.
As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, the apostles tell us, you proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes.
Amen.
Yes, it's a pretty tiny portion of feast, but it's enough for now. Quite enough.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare for our communion, we know that it's just a tiny portion and that we so look forward to that feast that we're going to have in heaven with you. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for all you do for us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover dinner, Jesus took bread, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, and giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again." Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
As we continue our praise and worship this morning, let's turn to number 596. This is something we need to do at all times. Count your blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care?
has promised you his love untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
John Klimek is our special this morning.
Of love that's calling, there's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fear that haunts your heart. Through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. And bring it all to the table. Nothing he ain't seen before. All your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. You can bring it all. Place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners and all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. All your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and cause. Bring it all to the table. And he calls, bring it all to the table.
Reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 16, the first four verses, and it was entitled The Demand for a Sign. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adult generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Morning. Morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? It's good to see some who have come in that we were missing, but glad you made it, and it's good to see my brother Ken, who is so young, his last name is Young. He's like 95 years young? Close. 94 years young. 90. How much?
90. Oh,
90. Okay. Sorry, I added a few. You're just that much wiser. It's good to have you with us this morning, brother. Driving all the way from Indy to come down and worship with us. We appreciate that. All right. So as we continue on here in the book of Matthew, this section, the demand for a sign. And I think it's very timely, this message, because there are many today who is seeking a sign. They want God to show them something. You show me something, Lord, and I will worship you. You make this happen, or you make that happen, or you heal me of this, or you heal me of that, and I'll heal you all the rest of the days of my life. There's many that still today in this generation that are looking for a sign. But Jesus, what he says here, you know, when he starts out here, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather and for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. Now, most of you, if not all of you, know I was in the Navy. I was a sailor. And of course, we were all very familiar with that saying. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Now, that is the modern version of what the Bible is saying here. People know how to look up to the sky and interpret what's about to happen. We look out and we see the storm clouds coming, and we have a pretty good idea what's about to happen. So Jesus goes on here to say, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs
of the times. Folks, there are signs of our times going on all around us right now, today. Many signs. We have fires. We've had earthquakes. We've had all kinds of extreme weather patterns over the last, 5 years or more? We had the sign that, according to Jonathan Kahn, when 9/11 happened, was a major sign for our nation. The harbingers showing us that judgment was coming, and we were given a time to repent as a nation. And we're still in that time. If we don't repent as a nation, then worse things will come. In fact, one of the prophets of old said that if you ignore my warning and you refuse to return, I will come back. This is God speaking. He said, I will come back with 7 times worse than the judgment you'd already received. Now, I don't know about you, but when you think about what those people did when they hijacked those planes and the damage that was done, I really can't imagine 7 times worse than that. And I don't want to. We can see the weather patterns. We can see certain things. We can even often predict economy, what's going to happen in the economy. All these things. But the most important thing of all is the sign of what the Bible teaches, the sign of the Lord God. And those signs, the spiritual signs, are the ones that are most ignored of all the signs that we are familiar with. We've created entire systems to forecast the weather. We've created systems that will forecast the economy. We've created systems now that health insurance companies use that will even predict who's going to get sick and they have to spend the most money on and who won't. And they make your coverage and your cost according to that. But when it comes to knowing what the Bible says, when it comes to lining up what's going on in the world today with what the Word of God says, we're not so good at that, are we, church? Come on, let's be honest. I myself am not familiar enough with it as I should be. Part of that is because what I was taught was that those things, you just don't really need to worry about all that much. You just go on and do what you got to do every day from day to day and worship God and everything will be okay. No, I'm sorry. That's not entirely accurate. It's not entirely wrong, but it's not entirely accurate. It's only part of the story. It's only part of it. You know, I can go all the way back to when I've shared this in my testimony before, but I go all the way back to when I was 13, 14 years old. And the Lord was calling me then to a ministry of some kind, but I didn't know what. I wasn't ever told about those kind of things. And when I went and asked my Sunday school teacher, she said, you'll understand it when you get older. And I'm like, I need to understand right now. Now's when he's calling. I need guidance. So I went to see the preacher, and the preacher said, you'll understand it when you get older. So kids aren't allowed to be in ministry, right? Kids aren't allowed to be called by God, right? No, wrong. God uses their innocence. But we adults have a responsibility to be ready to guide them and to answer them. And when they come with a question, we need to either give them an answer or help them find someone who can give them an answer. And we need that answer to come from the Word of God, not from the Word of man. These signs, you know, they're everywhere. We've had blood moons on high holy days. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school. The high holy days of the Jewish nation on their Jewish calendar. And those were signs to the nation that some change, some shift in culture is coming. And we're seeing that. It's happening, folks. It's happening. There are more Jews coming to Christ than ever has in history right now. More Jews are coming to Christ. We also are seeing that there is this peace agreement
between United Arab Emirates and Israel. Now, I don't believe that that's the end times peace agreement, but I think it's part of it. I think it's the beginning. They get an agreement. Right now, we know that Egypt and Iran are teaming up together saying, no, 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 there is no peace with Israel. There is no peace with Israel. But there will come a time when we are very close to the end when they also will pretend to be in agreement. And that agreement will last 3.5 years. Things are coming. And folks, these times, we need to be aware. That's the reason why, because of these things, because of these harbingers that Jonathan Kahn has shared with us, because of all of the things that are going on in the world, that's why he has called for us to return as a nation back to our foundation, which is built upon God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation was founded with Christian principles right out of this Bible, folks. Right out of the Bible. The founders of this nation, the First Continental Congress, every one of them almost were men who feared God. Whether you can call them Christian or not, I don't know. But they all feared God, and they respected what God's word said. They respected what God's people believed. And every time they were about to make a major decision, they got together, and sometimes they did it separately, sometimes they did it corporately, but they prayed. They got on their face before God and asked, God, is this what you want for this nation? This nation has been established on the principles of your word. This nation is dedicated to you, God, so what do you want this nation to be? It's one of the reasons why this nation is called the other Israel, the second Israel. It has followed much of the same pattern as the nation Israel. And like the nation Israel, if you've read Jonathan Kahn's books, you know that we followed the same pattern of being started out as a nation dedicated to God, and gradually we drifted away just like the nation Israel. And there was a time when God sent many warnings. God sent many things to happen in the nation. He sent messenger after messenger after messenger, prophet after prophet after prophet, to tell the people to return to God, to repent of their sins, to stop doing all of the evil they're doing, getting involved in things that the people of God have no business being a part of. They were worshiping false gods. And in America today, folks, we are worshiping false gods. Whether we have an idol or not, we're still worshiping false gods. We're worshiping the God of pleasure above all. If it feels good, do it. You know who said that originally? Satan. And that's the philosophy that many people in our nation live by today. And folks, that's a sign of the times that we're living in. It shows how far as a nation we have drifted away from the teachings of God Almighty. And because of that is why the harbingers came. Because of that is why judgment has come in the form of 9/11. And since that time, there was initially a people starting to turn back to God. The churches were full for about a month. But then after that, everything went back to normal. Business as usual. That's exactly what the nation Israel did, folks. Exactly. And ultimately, the nation Israel, because they refused to repent, because they refused in their arrogance to get rid of their false idols, to get rid of their false gods, and to turn and recommit and dedicate themselves and their nation to God, they continued to turn away, and they basically shook their fist at God and said, "We will not. We will do what we want." Folks, that's a dangerous thing to do. I know, because I've done it. And it got me
a predicament where I thought I was going to die. And God, when I finally relented and said, okay, Lord, I'll go into the ministry. I'll do what you want. Then he let up. But I could feel the squeeze for a while to make sure that I wasn't just trying to stay alive at that moment. When I really started to obey him, things got better and better and better. But the nation works the same way. The principles for what happens to an individual is the same principles that God does with a nation. And us as a nation, we as a nation, I guess I should say, have basically been shaking our fist at God and saying, no, we're going to do what we want. That didn't work out so well for Israel, folks, and that's our pattern. They ended up with the evil people next door coming in, wiping out a lot of them, destroying most of their nation, and taking them in captivity. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally don't wish to be property of another nation. I don't wish to be property of any socialist, any communist, or anyone else. And there's people even within the United States that's trying to do that, folks. Socialism is just communism with a different name because it always ends up that way. Always. And it never works. They promise you the moon and the stars and the sun, but usually what you get is darkness. And that's all. The signs are in place, folks. I don't know if you all have really thought about it. I'm sure you have at some point in time, but enough time has passed. Maybe we've kind of forgotten. But we get reminded from time to time, and I've been being reminded here lately. You know, since 9/11 happened, the very people who are the ones who orchestrated that attack on America, we've let more of that nation in than any other since then. And we have let those people get into positions of influence and authority in our government. Did you know that there is at least one city in Michigan that has Sharia law? They have people who walk around from house to house, and if they catch you committing some sin against Allah, you get in trouble for it. Most of the people that aren't Muslims have moved out of that place. Huh, imagine why. That area is under the leadership of Muslims. They were voted in. Imagine that. These are all signs, folks. Allah has been getting more respect in our nation than Yahweh. If you don't believe me, just look at the school curriculum. You'll find out real quick. Kids in a lot of places are required. They're not, can't get out of it in any way. Can't write a note from mom, dad. You're required to dress and act and speak as a Muslim. You're taught the five pillars of Muslim, and you must pray three times a day towards Mecca. Or maybe it's five times a day thing. Yeah. And so that's required. And the way they get by with it, they have to do that for a week. But then they say, oh, yeah, well, we teach also Hinduism and Christianity and all these. I'm sorry. There's no reason for you to teach any of that. That has nothing to do with what a child needs to know to survive in this world. Nothing. Not, they don't need to know how to be a Muslim to survive in the economy in the United States. Not necessary. And just the other day, I'm sure you all are aware of what happened in Louisville in the school system, where they introduced a book to the children that talked about these black kids talking to white kids and
One of the lines in the book says that, you know, well, my brother was arrested not because he did anything wrong, but because he was black. And another line was, cops hate black people. And they wondered why police officers and parents were upset about that book being taught in the Louisville school system. Signs of the times, folks, that we are in. Like I said, this message is very timely. Jesus orchestrated for us to have this message this day because there's so much going on. We get caught up sometimes in all the systems of prophecy and prediction that we have about daily things going on around us, and we forget. We get so busy and so occupied. We got this to do. We got that to do. We got to take the kids to here. We got to take the grandkids to there. We got this event, that event. We got so much to do. We don't have time to stop and ask the Lord, what do you want today? Read his word and find out what he says we need. We don't have time for God because so much is going on in our little worlds. But folks, when he returns, or when we go to be with him, whichever comes first, he's not going to judge us based on how many times we run our kids to events. He's not going to judge us based on how much money we made on our job. He's not going to judge us on how good a job we did cleaning our house and our yard. He may take those things into consideration, but the main thing he's going to judge us on is how much we learned of his word and how much we obeyed it as we learned it. That is what we're going to be judged on, folks. And so I have said many times, and I suggest we make learning the word of God our number one priority in this life, because it is what impacts the life to come. Not only do we need to get to know it, we need to learn the principles, we need to learn the promises, we need to learn the curses, and we need to learn how to obey everything he says. It will change us from the inside out. It amazes me at how many Christians I know have no idea what the word of God says. The devil could walk up to them and misquote scripture or even quote it correctly, but then apply it incorrectly the way he tried to do with Jesus, and they'd go right along with it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because they don't know the difference. How do you think the devil got away with turning entire denominations against God's word over homosexuality? They didn't know what it said, or they weren't able to interpret it from a spiritual minded aspect. They didn't have a biblical worldview. They had a secular worldview, which, by the way, folks, I don't know if you all realize this or not, but for a Christian, there is no such thing as secular. Everything we do is spiritual. When we're on our job, it's spiritual. When we're at home with our family, it's spiritual. When we're out and about in the store, it's spiritual. Everything we do is an opportunity for ministry. We are all called into full-time ministry. We may not all be called to preach from the pulpit, but we are all called into some kind of full-time ministry. We don't have time to worry about all the willy-nilly stuff in life when we should be helping to get souls prepared for heaven, folks. I've heard many of you yourselves say you believe time is short. I believe time is short. If we truly believe that, what are we doing with the short time we have left? Are we sitting around wasting it watching movies and reading novels? Or are we trying to make a difference in this life that impacts the life in heaven
the eternal life. Folks, that's all that really matters in these days. Getting promotions on the job is not really that important. Not really all that important. Getting your kids to all these events, not really all that important. It doesn't change their life. I mean, it may make them healthier. And I'm not saying it's bad to have your kids involved in things, but it's more important to have them involved in spiritual things than in worldly things. And if what they're doing, the events they're doing, also includes the Word of God and includes prayer, includes Christ, wonderful. If it doesn't, get them out of it, because they're being taught lies. In the school system, you need to yank your kids, folks. You need to yank your kids out of public school. They're being indoctrinated. They're not being taught the things that they really need to know. They're not being taught just math, reading, and arithmetic. They're being taught indoctrination about socialism and about how everything should be free for everybody. Yank your kids out of public schools. Teach them yourself. Your grandkids, whatever. If we don't teach our kids what the Word of God says, the devil will teach them what he wants them to know. According to Scripture, folks, there's only two major influences, good and evil. If you remove the good, what's left? Take prayer out of school. Take the Bible out of school. Take the Ten Commandments out of school. What's left? I think I've made a point. Sign of the times. We need to wake up. As a church, as a people, as a nation, we need to wake up. This time of prayer that we're having, September 26th, to 24-hour prayer, please, please pray as much as you can between now and then, and don't stop. Keep going, keep going, keep going. The more we pray, the more God hears, and the more He will respond. His ears are always open to His people, and His heart is always ready to answer. Are we asking? Are we begging? Are we repenting? If you have a need, just mind the Lord and come as we sing, Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 374, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Let's stand and sing.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the light of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. I guess prayer request is about it. And don't want to forget about Saturday. If you haven't picked a time, please do so. It doesn't have to go on paper, but pick an hour and spend it in.
You can come in here and
pray or pray at home. Pray, meditate. Couldn't hurt. Okay, looking at the prayer list, what do we...
I told him I loved this song.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
That was great.
I have Bible study at 5 o'clock today, so anybody and everybody that can come, please do so. All right, let's stand together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your visitation here this morning. Lord, I pray that the words that you have spoken through me this morning will touch our hearts and change the way that we view things and help us to be more serious about serving you. Lord, truly our time is short, whether it's the end of the world or the end of me. We never know. It could be today. So we need to be living for you, so that when we die, we will come to be with you. So Lord, as we leave here, let us keep these thoughts in our hearts and our minds and learn more of you, more of your word, and obey you more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God.
Have a great day. We'll see you tonight or Sunday or Saturday or sometime.